future of our church and the future of our nation. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Can you just look at your neighbor? Don't shake his hands. Just look at him or her and tell him you are blessed. Tell him once again, you are blessed. It's for us a privilege to serve once again this morning. I'm called Daniel Saika. I'm married to one and only wife called Nayata. And God has blessed us with a handsome boy called Joshua. And I think this pulpit is so blessed because the last time I stood here, we were two in the house. And now I'm standing here, we are three. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good. And all the time, all the month of June, if I remember well, the Lord has taken us through the book of Acts. And we've been learning several things about what happened in the Acts of Apostles. We had to learn about deliverance through prayer. And that we read in Acts chapter 12, 1 to 18. Then thereafter we had obey God rather than man. We read in Acts 5, 17 to 42. Thereafter we went through, we are chosen to serve. Afterwards, we had to learn on how to obtain the gift of God from Acts chapter 8, 9 to 25. And last Sunday, it was from slavery to freedom. So I strongly believe that the Lord has spoken to each and every one of us and has blessed us once again. As to go back to the book of Apostles, of Acts of Apostles, we know that this is a book that reveals to us what happens after Jesus Christ went back to heaven. And as one may remember, Jesus Christ came to this world with a particular mission, and the mission to save the world. He was the only person sent by God, but when he came, the Bible says the Holy Spirit took him to the desert, 40 days and 40 nights of prayer and fasting. And once he came from there, he had to choose the people with whom he will work, or with whom he will accomplish the mission. But brothers and sisters, when you go through the Bible, you will realize that it seems that Jesus Christ made a slightly bad choice, so to say. Why? Because Jesus Christ comes to Peter and say, follow me. He comes to John, James, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And these are guys, only 12 people he chose. And one will say, how can Jesus, to touch the whole universe, can choose someone like Peter, a coward? Because Peter could take a decision, a very strong decision, but when it comes to acting, he will just go back. And sometimes he will act before thinking, or he will think after acting. So can you understand, this is the kind of people Jesus Christ is choosing? And Thomas, a guy who could not believe before he sees, and he said, Jesus Christ, what you are saying, I mean, we are not understanding because we can't see anything. You're saying you are a king, but we are still oppressed by Romans. And maybe this guy who's called Judah, who was too much concerned about money. Of course, he was the finance minister. And the others. So one can say, how can Jesus choose this kind of people? And at the time he told them, there are things you cannot understand now, but a time comes when you'll understand them. And this time he was saying, it's when I go back to my Father, and then the Holy Spirit will come. And that was the manifestation of the three in one and one in three, as Brother Williams always say. So Jesus Christ had to go so that the disciples can understand the rest of the things they were not understanding. And the Bible says the day of Pentecost, they were all together in prayer and the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Bible says that they were able to speak in tongues, the tongues they never knew before, and people were all amazed. And I can see Peter, who the day Jesus Christ was taken by the rulers, Peter decided to say, "I don't know this man." He was in fear. And I think after that day, Peter went to hide in a cave because he was so ashamed. But the Bible says that day of the Pentecost, Peter stood and he's the one who gave the greatest speech. Amen. You will wonder why this guy who was a coward, who was full of fear, can be able to do that. It's because the power of God is in him. Hallelujah. So we can see from that day on, things were not the same. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, there was no more fear, no more shame, no more contradiction, no more confusion, and no more uncertainty about things to come or things they were doing. They were sure that this is what our Lord said. This is what our Lord promised. And if you are here today, I really remind you that until the Holy Spirit touches you, some things in your life will not change. Amen. Because Jesus Christ said, the Holy Spirit will come and will convince the world about sin, about justice, and about judgment. Those are the three things the Holy Spirit was to do. And Jesus said it. It means, if the Holy Spirit has not done these three things in your life, then I think you are off the road to the kingdom of God. So it's better you humble yourself before God and say, "I need your help." Because only the Spirit, and I know it's doing it, it's convincing you of your sins, of course, informing you about the judgment of God and telling you about the life to come. Amen. So today, we are going to read in Acts chapter 12. Let's go to our text. Acts chapter 12, 19 to 24. Acts chapter 12, 19 to 24. I will read in the name of Jesus. When morning came, there was a tremendous confusion among the guards. What had happened to Peter? Herod gave orders to search for him, but they could not find him. So he had the guards questioned and ordered them to be put to death. After this, Herod left Judea and spent some time in Caesarea. Herod was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, so they went in a group to see him. First, they convinced Blastus, the man in charge of the palace, that he should help them. Then they went to Herod and asked him for peace, because their country got its food supplies from the king's country. On a chosen day, Herod put on his royal robes, sat on his throne, and made a speech to the people. "It isn't a man speaking, but a God," they shouted. At once the angel of the Lord struck Herod down, because he did not give honor to God. He was eaten by worms and died. Meanwhile, the word of God continued to spread and grow. Barnabas and Saul finished their mission and returned from Jerusalem, taking John, Mark with them. Amen. Our second reading will be from the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9 to 11, I read. Revelation chapter 4, verse 9 to 11 says, "The four living creatures sing songs of glory and honor and thanks to the one who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. When they do so, the 24 elders fall down before the one who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They throw their crowns down in front of the throne and say, our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were given existence and life. Today, our topic is about God's glory. God's glory. Actually, the text we have just read, when I received the program, I went through it and I went back to the topic I was given. I called the pastor and said, "Hey, pastor, the text speaks about someone's death. How can you tell me to speak of such things about someone's death?" I was like, "Can we review the, you know?" Then we thank God because through prayer, so many things are possible. Amen. So today, we are going to speak about God's glory. We've read in that chapter that it concerns King Herod, the first, or Herod Agrippa, as some versions say. He was the king of Judea from year 41 to 44 after the death of Jesus Christ. And this is a king who was supposed to tell the world that Jesus Christ was not a true savior. And that's why if you read the way he persecuted the Christians, the objective was to tell the other people that the man who he said to died and resurrected was a liar. So that's why they had to kill each and everyone who could say the contrary of that. Herod in the Bible, we've got around three of them, and I was surprised to read about the Herods. All of them were not good people. So make sure you don't give your child such names, because in the Bible they were not good people. They were all against Jesus Christ. And this is a guy who has taken pleasure. And before continuing, I will say that at the end of this sermon, my prayer, or our prayer, is that everyone should be able to give praise to God wholeheartedly and in pureness. Because I think this is where we are supposed to reach every day. So this guy has taken pleasure to kill Christians. And he started by killing the apostles, I mean, among the 12 that Jesus Christ chose. So the Bible says, the verses before those we have read speak about the death of James. So this guy decided to take James and kill him. The Bible says James was killed by the sword. And after that, he had imprisoned Peter. And the Bible says that night, the Christians were praying. They were praying for him because they were truly united. And miraculously, the Lord decided to free him. So Jesus Christ said this in John chapter 16. We are not reading. John chapter 16, 1 to 4. He said, "I've told you this so that you will not give up your faith. You will be expelled from the synagogues, and the time will come when anyone who kills you will think that by doing, he's serving God. People will do these things to you because they have not known either the Father or me. But I have told you this so that when time comes for them to do these things, you will remember that I told you." So what we have read is not new. Jesus Christ had told them before that a time comes when whoever kills you will convince himself to be pleasing God. So this comes the fulfillment of what Jesus Christ said. And I'm sure they have understood it because the Holy Spirit has come, right? So God sent an angel to miraculously save Peter from the jail. And when Herod heard it, he was furious. Imagine someone getting furious to a mighty deliverance. And verse 20 says, "The fame of Herod the king spread to the extent that his enemies, the people of Tyre and Sidon, decided to make peace with him." So Herod was becoming more popular. And guys were trying to come and negotiate with him because he was then the most popular king. The Lord God finds Herod, a man who starts to envy the glory and praise that only belongs to him. We have read that a time came he had to put on his royal robes and he had to make a speech. And the Bible says when he was giving the speech, guys were shouting, "This is not a man speaking, it's a God." Can you imagine which kind of speech was that? You speak until people say, "This is a God." And believe you me, God started to look and say, "Who is this guy? This guy is trying to envy what does not belong to him." And God decides to take action by sending an angel to strike down the king. And the Bible says he was eaten by swarm. Can you imagine how God was so furious? You die and swarm come again to finish you up. We will ask, for which reason God can react that way? King Herod didn't give to God the honor and praise which are due to him alone. Amen. And the Bible says, when he was killed, the word of God spread again and again, and it went to far extent of Judea. And that is how powerful is the word of God. Hallelujah. So this morning, my prayer is that you will understand that our Lord Yahweh cares much about his glory. I'll ask the technicians to project the next slide. Our God Yahweh is much concerned about his glory. The next, please. He is the mighty creator. Above all, he reigns. Therefore, deserves to be praised all through the universe. We cannot be Christians who ignore such aspects about God. In the Bible, there is a verse that says, "He does not give his glory to another or his praise to idols." I'm sure you know that verse. It means if you want to touch God in a very bad way, touch those two things. Touch his glory and touch his praise. You will have to face his wrath. The Lord God is on his throne to receive our praises and all the glory, and that from the book of Revelation and the verses we just read. So there are biblical facts showing that the Lord really cares much for his glory. Because of time we are not reading, I'll just state the verses. Daniel chapter 5, 1 to 7. Daniel chapter 5, 16 to 33. It speaks of King Belshazzar. And this is the king who reigned during the deportation to Babylon. The Bible says that he committed a sacrilege by using utensils belonging to the Lord's temple to drink wine. Can you imagine, suppose that those utensils we normally use for the Holy Communion, then a king decides to take them and pour as wine in them and start drinking. That's what King Belshazzar did. He ignored that God makes his temple holy, and so becomes everything connected to serve him. Everything that is connected to God's temple is holy automatically. And Yahweh decided to get rid of him in a miraculous manner. So if you read Acts and you read this book of Daniel, you will understand how God behaves when someone tries to grab from his glory. The second fact that Jesus or God cares much for his glory is in Daniel chapter 4, 24 to 33. It speaks of King Nebuchadnezzar. Once King Nebuchadnezzar noticed that his kingdom has gained more power, great reputation, King Nebuchadnezzar grew proud. And that's what happened to this guy, Herod Agrippa. He realized that even the neighboring countries are coming to bow before him, so he became proud. And you know, this happens mostly in Africa. A president can come to you very humble and he tells you, you know, I'm going to make your life better. And you are like, wow, this is the leader we are going to vote. And 1 year later, he realizes that he's got power and, you know, he's bought weapons and, you know, he's got people who are hungry and he's given some good life. And, you know, this is our man. We cannot leave him. So he knows the people, even if they shout out there, I will not go because I'm now the man. And this happens. Leaders grow proud. And I pray that the Lord save us from such kind of leaders. So Nebuchadnezzar is touched by the Lord's hand, who decided to humble the king by making him acknowledge God's supremacy. And before that, he decided to, he went to the extent of making a statue as a god to be worshipped in the entire kingdom of Babylon. And he forced even those Jews to do that. Can you imagine? And I remember in the Roman Empire, Nero did such things. I know you know the history of Nero. He did some very bad things. He crucified people. He killed them in a very bad way, and lions could be open so that they go and just do whatever they can to Christians who were confessing the name of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ said all these things. And I pray that we may get also ready to go through such things. But the question is, as Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? That's the big question to you this morning. Can you still give glory to God when such things happen to you? And this is what we read from the Bible. Peter continued, and the Bible says the word of God spread. We need to ask ourselves that question. Can you still give glory to God when you are going through pain, you are going through rejection because of the name of Jesus Christ? Or else, our future is not clear. We need to learn from these people who are ready to die because they understood that dying for Christ is also giving glory to Him. Amen. So today, you should take that decision to say, God, I'm going to give you glory no matter what happens to me. The third fact that Jesus Christ or our Lord cares for His glory is found in the book of 1 Samuel 15, 1 to 31. It speaks of King Saul. This man was anointed. I read that part and I was shocked. He was anointed. It means chosen. And one day the Lord sent him to fight some kings and he gave him instructions. The Bible says after fighting the king, he decided to do his own way. So he hid some kettles and some gold and silver. And then he decided to say, okay, I'm done with the Lord's mission. Then the prophet Samuel was sent by the Lord, who was like, yeah, this guy again has touched my glory, has touched my praise. You know, God is very sensitive to those two things that we've just said. So he was told, you are no longer the king. The Bible says, the Lord repents from having made Saul a king. And I'm sure the Lord is repenting for having made some president of their countries. Amen. Let us reach the level of acting that can make God be happy of making us who we are. Wherever you are working, maybe studying, can you just decide and say, God, my prayer is that you may receive your glory and praise in where I am, in what I am doing. Amen. And you remember, God used to defend Israel because of His glory. He is the God of covenant. So let us give praise to God. As we said at the end of this lesson, everyone should be able to give praise to God. Because after all, if we don't give praise to God, the glory to our mighty Creator, He will get it anyhow. Amen. If you don't do it, He will get it anyhow. Either through you or through someone else. So I think, as in politics it is said, you have to go to the side of the one who is strong. Isn't it? So make sure you join the Lord, because either you join Him or not, He will get His praise and His glory. And in ministry, God can withdraw a gift from someone if that person does not honor Him. You will see someone who's got the gift of maybe healing, the gift of faith, the gift of prophecy, and start saying, you know, I am the best in the city. I am the best in town. But brothers and sisters, as God withdrew His spirit from King Saul, He can also do that to you if you get proud with the gift He's given you. Amen. So today, we need to learn to humble before God. Either you sing, maybe in a choir you say, if I'm not in that choir, things will not go okay. Things will still go okay, because Jesus Christ said, from these stones, I can raise a generation to Abraham. Amen. So these are the things we need to understand even when we serve the Lord. If you are not there, God will avail someone else. Let us conclude this message of today. We have three cues. Please project the slide. The three cues are as follow. The first one. How many times do we try to grab from God's glory? How many times, second cue or question, how many times do we boast over what we do better than the rest? And this happens. The third one, how many times in the ministry, in our families, in our profession, life or area, do we show the Pharisees' character? And you know, Jesus Christ was against this Pharisees' character. These guys were behaving as if they are scholars, yet they were ignorant. So we need to avoid such things and maybe ask ourselves those kind of questions. So we need to make use of God. We do not need to make use of God in the way we live, but we ought to really serve Him and avail ourselves to be used by Him. Amen. There is a member of this choir who posted something on WhatsApp, and it's very interesting. He said, in French, il faut servir Dieu, pas se servir de Dieu. And when I read it, I was like, wow, this is nice. It means this. Don't make use of God. If I do the translation, don't make use of God, but rather serve Him. I'm sure you understand that. So when we seek God's glory in everything we do, He honors in return. Amen. One thing we don't use to speak about in churches is that God is jealous. Our God is jealous. If you want to know about the jealousy of God, go at home and read Exodus chapter 34, verse 14, Deuteronomy 4:24. You will understand that our God is jealous. Some of the things we don't work or don't work in our lives because we have taken what doesn't belong to us. It means God's praise. It means in your life, make sure you don't take what belongs to God, because things will go wrong in your life. Even some of our prayers remain unanswered because the motives are so selfish that the glory of God is forgotten. James chapter 4 verse 3. God calls us today to worship Him, to praise Him, and to honor Him because He deserves it. There is a song that says, all the glory, all the praise belong to You. You deserve it. You deserve it. So my prayer today is that in the Democratic Republic of Congo, in your country, in the whole of Africa and all of the world, the praise and glory will go back to who? To the God Almighty. Amen. I call the whole church, please stand. We want to pray. In this prayer, I ask for a few minutes, please. I know my time is over, but I feel that we should do it. In the book of Ezekiel, if you read the chapters 37 and the chapter 47, we are not reading, but I wish we had enough time to read. This book speaks of the revelation to God, to Ezekiel. The God comes and tells him. He took him into a valley which had got dry bones. And then he asked him, "Son of man, do you believe these bones can live again?" And Ezekiel, with wisdom, said, "You know." And things started to happen. Then in chapter 47, he says, he showed him a river that was flowing from the temple. And wherever that river was flowing, the trees started to grow. Everything that was dead started to live. And I like this because that river, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the river of life. And that river is Jesus Christ. And today I'm going to tell you that until Jesus Christ comes into your life, some things will not live. It's when Jesus Christ comes, when that river flows into your life, then things will start to live. Things will start to happen. Maybe in life something that was dead, when that water touches it, it will receive life. Amen. And I feel that this is what happens to Congo. So many people have responded to that. "Do you believe Congo can rise again?" And people are saying, "No, this country is completely dead. Africa is completely dead." Even Donald Trump, when he says it, people say, "Yes, Donald Trump, you are right." But I tell you, let us have the faith of Ezekiel that those dry bones can still live. Amen. Let us sing a song with the choir. As the choir sings, let us sing together.